Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to day four of Louis Vuitton Cup semi-finals. Wins of the day went to Luna Rossa Challenge over BMW Oracle Racing by 23 seconds. Luna Rossa now leads their semi-final match by 3-1. And to Emirates Team New Zealand over Desafío Español by 42 seconds. Emirates Team New Zealand also leads their series by 3-1. Louis Vuitton Cup semi-finals are a best of nine series, as are the finals and the America's Cup match itself. Four of the semi-finals races have now been sailed. Up to five more could be sailed. We are therefore potentially not quite halfway through, and racing could continue all the way up to Thursday next week. However, if the dominant teams continue with their winning ways, this could be over in 2 days' time. So a different pace today. The starting wasn't as furious, and the choice of sides seems to have been split in each start. For the last few days, just about everybody here has stated that they were fighting for the right in the pre-start. I think if we ask the gentlemen here now, certainly the winners at least, they might tell us that they were looking for the left today. The weather team's input is providing crucial in these matches. The first beat was surprisingly similar in both races, the left-hand side boat getting slightly bow forward with a better pressure or better speed and was able to push the game back to the right-hand side. And both pairs eventually saw the trailing right-hand boat stuck out on the starboard tack lay line. The boat that has rounded the first weather mark first so far of these four since the beginning of the Louis Vuitton Cup has won the race 93% of the time. After today, that percentage has probably moved a bit closer to 95%. Although the trailing boat often has an advantage downwind, certainly in puffy and shifty conditions, that didn't really seem to be the case today, and the leading boat never lost significant ground in spite of plenty of jibing duels. The fast and furious pace of the Louis Vuitton Cup continues tomorrow with day five. Things can turn around very, very fast. Trends can change, fortunes can change, and crews can change. Peter Eisler, navigator of BMW Oracle. I'm assuming you were looking for the right today.
Yeah, that's right. We liked the right last few days. It's been good, but that's not the reason. We have a great weather team out there, and we felt that there was in the building sea breeze, and it was already quite to the right in direction. So we favored it not strongly. We're happy with a nice even start off the starting line, and then drag racing to the right.
We saw that you broke a flipper on the starboard side, which must have compromised your port tack speed somewhat. How did you break this, and could it not be fixed at some stage?
Yeah, no, the flipper, which helps to push the extra sail area in those super big jibs we race with, broke off during the pre-start. It's a very fragile piece of equipment. We do our best to keep them out of the line of fire, but I guess during the pre-start battle, it got nicked maybe with the running backstay and pulled off. We don't carry a spare. It's the only one we have, so it dangled up there and didn't help our performance at all straight lining and certainly hurt it tacking as well.
Do you break them often? Is it a common occurrence? Or?
They're quite lightweight. We have different size ones for the different side, depending on the wind speed and how much extra area we're carrying in our head sails. And we do the best to have them engineered right to the limit. Obviously, you don't want to be carrying anything overly heavy up at the top of the rig. And something we didn't, an accident would cause it to break, and a bit of bad luck for us there. We haven't broken any of this in the Louis Vuitton Cup to date.
How much of your port tack speed was compromised, and did it have an effect on the way you sailed the second beat?
Yeah, we're only about a knot slow on that port tack, otherwise, no, just half a knot. You'll see tomorrow.
Francesco De Angelis, your afterguard seems to be functioning well with the choice of sides and the ability to adapt the game quickly, depending on the nature of the race and the conditions. Francesco Luna Rossa lead the semi-finals by 3-1. It might even have been 4-0, but honestly, did you expect to be in this position halfway through the Louis Vuitton semi-finals?
The good thing of the sport is that I think I said the same thing in the press conference before we started. You never know what is going to happen. That's the beauty of the thing. That's why everyone is so positively anxious to start the race. You have to get earn everything on the water, and So if the things were already written before you start, I mean, people wouldn't try as hard as they try every day. So I think we're expecting to have a tough series as it's going on, because all the races have been incredibly close, and we know it will keep on this way.
Did you pick up the broken, or did you see the broken flipper on the BMW Oracle straight away? When did you know it was broken?
Well, at the end of the day.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Not at all during the race?
Well, I think all the teams are pretty busy with what they have to do and with their own boat, and unless the piece just falls on your head, you wouldn't notice if the other boat has such a breakage of that kind.
So with that in mind then, tell us about the second beat and your supreme confidence in heading hard right and allowing the other bloke to split with you, with probably the biggest split we've seen so far. It was 2,700 meters at one point.
Well, I would say that the other team was confident either, and in the sense that it was a big split of both boats, but then at the end of the beat, I mean, the boats were as close as they started, so for the leverage that there was, in reality there wasn't much. It was more of probably there was more tension on board of both boats, but at the end it turned out to be very similar.
Matt Rakovic, navigator on Desafío Español, a tough one for you, but you kept it close all the way. Kiwis seemed to be able to slow down better than you in the dial-up, and that allowed for that famous steel balls move that they made. Was that the turning point, do you think, for the race?
No, I don't think that was the turning point of the race. We were actually happy with the pre-start, more or less. I think the Kiwis probably started maybe half a bowl length in front of us at the pre-start, but we wanted the right. And I don't think that the right was particularly weak. It was probably fairly equal off the line. So the reversal at the start was okay. Carroll ended up putting the boat in the position we wanted. He actually got hooked on purpose because we wanted to start split tack to the right. So the start that we wanted ended up being pretty much exactly what we had asked for. So that the initial dial-up wasn't any big deal for us.
How did the first beat look for you? Were you able to monitor what was going on in the pair that was ahead of you up the course, or were you completely autonomous on your call?
I mean, you can always look up the course and see the boats in front of you. It's something of an advantage to start second, so you can see these other boats working up the course. On a day like today, I think that the race course was pretty even. Going up the beat, we saw very, very little shift. I think there was a bit of there was pressure shifts, if that makes sense to you. There wasn't any, you know, shifts in the breeze. There was just pressure on one side of the course to the other. And as far as our race was concerned, I don't think any of that really developed until about half or two-thirds of the way up the beat. You know, we had a split tack start, and at the time that we were starting, we of course had glanced up the course, but we didn't really see any particular advantage. I think just coming off the start after a couple of minutes, the strategist looked up and noticed there might be a little bit more pressure on the left. We kind of thought maybe we'd be in a bit of strife based on that when we got up to it. And as it turned out, I think that the first few tacks when we initiated the tacking duel were fairly equal in terms of our assessment. But number one, we were getting leap out because I think the Kiwis had established, you know, half a boat length lead at the start. And number two, after three or four tacks, I think that they were catching some little pressure builds on the left side, which gave them a clear advantage. So that's pretty much the way it shook out on that first beat. But I don't think any of that really, at least from our point of view, could be discerned from the start. So we were happy with the way we came off the line. We were happy with where we were on the course. And we were happy with basically how we conducted ourselves at that beat. We once again tried to minimize the damage and stay close again, which has been our game plan in the past. And, you know, as we've said before, we're going to stick to it.
Ray Davis, strategist of Emirates Team New Zealand. Solid performance after your defeat on Wednesday. Can you tell us about the pre-start and how you sorted yourself out for the first beat?
Yeah, definitely a much better day for us today. Our strategy for the race today was, we clearly identified it was different to yesterday, so we weren't so worried about being to the left. And a lot of emphasis was being advanced off the start line. So we put a bit of pressure on Dean to pull one out of the bag, and he did for us today. And certainly that half a boat length lead that Matt was talking about was where the race was controlled from. And we were able to set up to the left of the Spanish, and there was never any right-hand shift that they were able to come back.